Yeah. So I'm, is it, like the whole, the genesis of this was, is there any such thing as a right or left-handed bear?
Well, yeah. I mean, we decided that
there is. And there you go.
I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for episode number 68, Video Games Hot Dog, our favorite video games podcast and yours.
Well, except for Idle Thumbs.
And Giant Bombcast.
Yeah.
And Watch Out for Fireballs. And
Indoor Kids.
AssholeGames.com. Destructoid.games. Asshole. How's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good.
Kevin, right, you're back in town.
I am.
Yeah, got the gang back together.
Yeah, I thought you said we got the gang bang, and
I should
did not want that.
Just no. Put some delay behind or before everything I say, just to make you feel like you haven't changed podcasts or something.
Really, we need to get this episode over with so that we can go play some Mexican fire hockey, which is a thing that I just learned about from a Metafilter link to the Huffington Post. It is apparently this thing that kids in Mexico are doing where they get hockey sticks,
yeah,
and then they get a wooden ball that they soak in gasoline, and okay, then they play hockey with it on a parking lot.
But they light it on fire?
The fireball is, well, it's like magic, said Omar Mendoza, one of the teenagers playing pelota furepecha, as the sport is known. It's like the equilibrium of the universe between good and evil. Evil is the darkness, and good is the ball.
What?
This sounds like a pretty sweet sport. I don't know about you guys, but so that's what I'm like doing with all my spare time
at
now.
Night,
I
mean, with no lights on.
There's definitely not enough fire in sports.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's the flaming head of your enemies. I hear that's what they do down south of the civilized parts of North America.
Yeah, yeah.
We used to mount crossbow-like apparatus to our bicycles and then get the, like, the sticky burrs, like that, you know, the plants have,
like
cockleburrs.
Cockleburr.
Kookaburra, yeah.
Kookaburra?
A capybara.
Capybara. And then bike around in a parking lot shooting at each other with our makeshift crossbow.
How did you make a crossbow thing that shoots cockleburros?
Well, I mean, it was like a rubber band and a couple sticks mounted to the front of your bike, and you'd bike around.
It doesn't
around.
Sound good for the capybaras.
Did you have to have a pocket full of the chinchillas to reload quickly?
You had to have like a little basket of them on your bike.
Could you get like a kid brother to sit in the basket in front of you and be your gunner?
You probably could have. We didn't. It was
because you didn't have baskets.
We did a bunch of two team and then also free for all games of this kind of thing. It was just a dumb idea because it would often hurt, and they'd usually, like, the idea was that they would stick to your clothes or whatever, but it would usually just hurt when they hit you.
Could you get Adam Baldwin to sit in the cargo compartment of your bike just mowing down strangers indiscriminately with a cuckleborough machine gun?
Part of the trick was that you weren't allowed to stop moving, so I don't think having gunners or emplaced guns, like, just stuck in the environment.
I'm not saying he's riding along with you behind the pilot in the part where cargo would normally go.
Right. I see.
With one of those cuckleburrow machine guns.
Yeah.
I grew up calling them cuckleburrows.
Did you?
Yeah, but I don't know what they're actually called. Cockleburrs?
I think a cuckleburrow would be the place where somebody whose wife is sleeping with another dude would live.
Cuckleburrow. Cuckleburrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember what we called them, actually, to be honest.
We would sometimes throw buckeyes at each other. That mm-hmm. hurts. Those mm-hmm. things are hard as shit.
Do they also yeah. have spikes all over them?
No.
That's the outside of them.
I don't know. There were also these, some sort of trees that yielded these spiny balls that you couldn't throw those yeah. very far because they were too light.
The spiny balls break open and the chestnuts are inside them.
Chestnuts.
Oh, huh. I think these might be two different things. There was also a persimmon tree, which would occasionally drop some foul-smelling, rotting fruit to the ground, which you could
durian.
Throw at dudes. Durians.
Didn't you get some durian chips?
I haven't.
All I know about durians is chips. The rotten durian in one of the Castlevania games. It was yeah. like, yeah, man, this smells really, really bad.
I can't even imagine a rotten durian, because a fresh durian smells like rotting yeah. meat.
I've heard that the distinction there with the durians, why some cultures dislike the smell and some don't, is that it smells very much the same to what the whatever the chemical is in a chemical toilet. smells, and so if you're originally more familiar with that smell, then you like find the smell of a durian to be disgusting.
On an airplane,
or going to concerts or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, you grew up. Like
whereas if the smell of the durian is what you encounter first, then you associate that with
then you want to eat
fruit and
toilets.
Well, you go into a toilet and go, oh, it smells like delicious fruit in here.
There is there are two different kinds of bathroom air freshener that I've learned to recognize. One because it smells exactly like Fruity Pebbles, and one because it smells exactly like the bubble gum that's in baseball cards.
Didn't something taste like Fruity Pebbles to you recently too?
Something tasted like Fruit Loops. I ate some asparagus and it tasted like Fruit Loops. Right. But we were talking about Fruit Loops because a girl that we were dining with suggested that comedian Greg Proops release a cereal called Fruit Proops.
Right.
And also because that's a good name.
Fruit Proops?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Fruit Proops is what you get when you've been eating a lot of Fruit Loops.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
What about like those Cheeto turds where everything's kind of dusted orange?
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, what you do there is you fish them out of the toilet with chopsticks and then you don't get your fingers all orange.
Right.
Anyway, so besides Mexican fire hockey, has anybody been playing any games? We just got back from the Dragon Con.
Yeah, did not play a lot of games because of that, although I did get the opportunity to check out the new iPad version of Bastion.
How's that?
It's really nice, actually. The graphics, especially on the Retina display, if you have the iPad 3, are really slick and good looking, and it controls surprisingly well. It's just
you were saying you don't have to. There's no shoot button, so you just tap and he goes to a place and he'll kill everything.
Or double tap or two finger tap to dodge. And yeah, if he's within range of a guy, he fires or swings the hammer automatically.
That it feels really natural. A lot of stuff.
Mm. Seems like it would change the game pretty dramatically. Are there more than like three enemies?
What about
it? Seemed I've only played through the first level, but
what about
as far
destroying
as I can tell,
the environment?
It seems the same. Yeah, same. He'll. If you run up next to something, he'll smash it.
Huh.
So what if you're trying to carve a part of the environment into the shape of a dick? You just can't do it, or you just have to be really
careful? You have to move in the shape of a dick.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I played a bunch of Epic Astro Story, I think is the one.
It's
the
one of those Kyrosoft
games.
What is Kyrosoft?
They made Epic Mall Story.
Epic Mall Story?
I don't know.
Mega Mall Story.
And was it Fantasy Town Story?
Okay.
Dungeon Village,
that's the one. I was close. It's pretty good. I like it better than Dungeon Village, actually. It's got some extra mechanics and a lot of other stuff going on.
And you sort of like build the world as you go, and
instead of being granted more land automatically as you proceed, you have to unlock every little section of land individually by sending out away teams to
is
search.
It not just like a super complicated lemonade stand game?
Well, I mean, same sense that any simulation game is like a more or less complicated lemonade stand.
Huh. Yeah,
Hammurabi. It's also a more complicated Hammurabi, just like XCOM.
Right.
There's like fighting, as I recall.
Yeah, when you...
It names your characters after Star Trek characters.
Yeah.
You could have gone and asked...
They're joke Star Trek characters instead of joke Final Fantasy characters.
You could have asked LeVar Burton to autograph your Gordy LaFrange.
Was he there?
Yes.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Yep.
I guess MacGyver was there.
I guess he was pretty drunk. Everybody that we saw at Dragon Con
was pretty drunk. Was he as drunk as, Chris Avalon?
We went to a Making Awesome Video Games panel, and it was Mike Capps from Epic, and then it was a guy who worked on Borderlands and is working on Borderlands 2, and a guy who worked on...
Saints Row.
Who did like all the stories.
The Saints Row guy and Chris Avalon were both just piss drunk at the beginning of the panel.
Saints Row guy didn't seem that drunk.
He just seemed nervous.
Yeah, exactly.
He rallied though. Seemed very nervous. Chris Avalon was just, you know,
he was partying. He was whooping it up all weekend, as far as I saw.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, that doesn't make me lose any respect for him, because like that's a thing that happens. But I'm a little sad that I was really like he was the speaker that I was the most excited to see at this convention, and the one time that I saw him, he was just sort of and then occasionally throwing up his arms and going woo
was more edifying. Although I mean, I don't know. the stuff that we would have been really interested in, like insider game development stuff, was this was probably not the con to get that.
We should have found a way to trick him into drinking in our hotel room.
Yeah,
prodded him for secrets. How do I get past the rats in Planescape Torment? That's what we should have said. No, it was, you know, they asked him to talk about, and this is a thing that I'm actually very interested in. They asked him to talk about, like, publisher pressure to not let you kill children in the Fallout games.
Yeah.
And his answer was just this kind of throwaway bullshit. So it made me sad to not get even the sort of polished public perspective on that. Hmm. Yeah, because I don't like that you can't kill children in the Fallout games.
Why?
Well, somebody pointed out, there was somebody in the Video Games Hot Dog forums talking about how lame Fallout 3 was and how Fallout 3 was a terrible game because evil person, you get to this point where you are just forced to help a bunch of children and that sucks.
I mean, and it would be okay if you were helping them kill somebody else, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think what happened was neither have I. But they didn't make it so... Because of that part where you suddenly have to help all these kids, and that being the only part of the game where you can't just kill dudes and take their stuff, it's just weird. Like, I feel like if they took away, you know, giving players the ability to kill children, whatever. Like, I personally feel like...
In a video game, they're abstracted out, like...
Yeah, and if, like, why is it
kids
not...
and monsters are kind of the same. Yeah. Like, they're all...
Why is it okay to kill 1,000 innocent women but not one child who is an asshole? Like, it's like, well, because killing children is bad. Yeah, but killing normal people is bad, too. It's just that video games present it to you in a way that you have learned to ignore it. And, like, I don't know. You know, that is a different conversation for a different day. But also, in that whole publishers making you cut things out, the Saints Row guy talked about having to remove a whole subplot from it where, like, a character dies. And I guess the character still dies.
Yeah.
But they had to remove this part.
The emotional content.
Yeah, which involves
that
girl whose name that I don't remember, the main female character, expressing regret and sadness.
She has one
because she was only allowed to have one emotion, and the game is
that was anger.
You know, the whole game is so silly that they weren't allowed to, like, oh yeah, wait, it actually sucks when dudes die. And so, you know, and I don't know, I was talking to Josh about this on a podcast recently. Like, apparently there was a part of actually this wasn't on a podcast, this was at a bar. Sometimes they mix up
very
bars,
similar,
and, bars and podcasts. The last episode of Nikolai's Roof on top of the Hilton, the Atlanta Hilton,
the secret bar.
Yeah, there was a bar that was so hard to get to. You could smoke inside, which was nice. I went to the front desk and I was like, hey, is there any place I can smoke a cigar without having to throw this beer at a hobo, because I don't think they would let me out on the street with the beer. And she said, yeah, you can go to the upstairs bar, only the back two elevators go there. Like, okay. So I went in, I hit the button by the back two elevators, and it just turns off. Like, it won't let you summon those elevators. What you have to do to get into one of those elevators is keep summoning elevators and then, like, banishing them to floors that are far away from you.
See, so they knew you were a video game.
I know, and that's why there were so few people in this bar. And they weren't accustomed to the crowds, and we thought, well, maybe it's because the Dragon Con crowd is accustomed to playing adventure games, and so they're better at solving an elaborate puzzle to get into... But apparently there was a scene in Austin Powers that they had to cut out where it was like one of the random henchmen, like the telegram gets delivered to his wife that he was killed in the line of duty by this guy. And then it's sad. And like people were just like, no, fuck, no, no, that is not okay.
Wow. Like actually giving them some humanity is like unacceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it would have been... For Austin Powers, that moment would have been really weird tone whiplash. I don't know. It might have been cool.
Yeah, I mean,
I find it hard to say without directly experiencing it.
You know, and it's no secret, and it's no new observation that the moral compass of American culture is a little bizarre,
right?
Just because, you know, horrible violence is okay, but tits are not okay, and, you know, sort of the laughing stock of the larger world as a result of that kind of thing. But it just seems like
they were trying to give the Telegram thing in Austin Powers, like they were trying to make fun of that whole idea. Like it was still supposed to be a joke and people were taking it as a sad thing. And that's weird,
I think it probably was supposed to be sad, but it was just like
in a funny way.
But it was, I mean, comedy is born of transgression, right? Like,
sure.
not necessarily in every case. I mean, I'm sure some funny shit happens in Teletubbies or whatever. But, like, I don't know how to feel about that whole thing. Because, it just seems like a weird line to draw. Like, you can kill innocent people. You can kill animals. You can't kill.
Yeah, but you have to be careful about the killing of animals, I think.
In Fallout?
Oh, I thought you were talking about in culture, in pop culture.
Huh. And I see, that's another weird thing. You can't, if you go out and shoot a dog, you're a bad guy, no matter how many fucking steaks you've eaten in your life. Yeah? You know?
Well, it depends on how many dog steaks you've eaten.
Well, sure, if you eat it, then it's not bad to kill it, right? Like, hunting is okay as long as you personally eat all of the animal's fur,
Hannibal,
and horns, and antlers.
Hannibal
and
Lecter is just a regular Joe. Yeah.
No, he's also a murderer,
right?
Like you already are in Fallout 3, is what I'm saying.
Wait, hold on. So, if you go and you kill a cow, mm-hmm. you're a murderer.
No, I don't think that you are.
Okay.
I think that if you, for instance, if you made a video of yourself killing an elephant, which you then...
I thought you were going to say killing an elf.
Which, if you made a video of yourself killing a girl cosplaying as an elf, then they send you to jail. What kind of hypocrisy is that? Freedom of speech, duh. No, if you make a video of yourself shooting an elephant, maybe an invasive elephant that you then donate as food to a group of extremely hungry people, and then you post a video of that on the internet, if you're a huge asshole that everybody already hates, they will make a big deal out of that and talk about what an even huger asshole you are.
Right.
People don't have any perspective about anything, man. If everybody who raised a stink about that was a fucking vegetarian who would be willing to just let a buffalo destroy their house if it happened to wander over and want to destroy their house, then okay. But, these were all like, oh, man, this hamburger is so delicious. How dare you kill nature's giant majesty? Also, the name of that elephant was Nature's Giant Majesty. It was actually someone's pet.
It sounds like a race elephant.
Man, that'd be good. Yeah, the jockeys have to ride in elaborate palanquins, and so they're judged not only on speed but also on the
shininess
on the ornate
of their palanquins.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
the races would take a long time.
Well, maybe not.
It's not tortoises. I mean, they can,
and their memories are so good, you could race them through mazes.
Oh yeah.
Am I imagining this, or was there a study that showed that if you trained a rat to run a maze and then you fed that rat's brains to a different rat, that rat would know how to run the maze?
I hope so.
I kind of hope so, too. But, I mean, there's a lot of things, like those wasps that lay eggs inside a thing and then they hatch and paralyze it and slowly eat it.
Oh, yeah.
But
that fish that takes the place of other fishes' tongues.
Huh.
That's
or the one that swims up into your
one.
Dick eye and lays eggs in your bladder.
Yep.
I don't even know.
We've got to stop
does.
Talking about this. This is just giving me the willies.
It's nature, man. You think
nature
that the stuff
is weird and disgusting
that,
and horrible.
You think that Hitler's bad. Compared to God, Hitler did not create nearly as much horror in the grand scheme of things. Seriously.
Spiders that catch and eat birds.
You heard it here first. Yeah. God worse than Hitler.
Well, God's killed a lot more people than Hitler did.
Send complaints to kevin@asymmetric.net.
In fact, I bet God has killed more Jews than Hitler
did. Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm pretty sure he has.
I mean, Hitler, he didn't know that all those sparrows died. He would have probably stopped them. God sees the sparrow fall.
I see.
But one sparrow dying in the hand is worth two dying in the bush. So that was Dragon Con.
Yep. We played some board games there.
We did. We played a lot of board games. We played a handful of board games.
Yep. The new Thunderstone Advance is really good.
Yeah, they released a... this is like Thunderstone, except more balanced,
version
I guess.
2, yeah. I went and bought that and its expansion today.
Oh,
yeah?
Good.
Yep.
I had more games of the balanced one where I felt that I was impotent and wasted all of my turns than I did of the original Thunderstone, but
really?
That might have just been bad luck.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this was the first time I've ever like prepared in a round. I did that twice in a row, even.
Yeah, I did that several times.
I think it may be just be born out of the fact that we were using random card selections.
That's true.
There are probably lists available on BoardGameGeek or
for
whatever.
Satisfying
setups.
We played a game of Puerto Rico. I beat you at a board game for the first time ever by one entire point.
Of Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not the first time you've beaten me at a board game.
One that you've played before. My coffee engine was unstoppable. It's like I know what they need in the old world. Why? So coffee came from Turkey, right?
Did it? I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean they definitely had coffee.
Did it also grow in the West Indies?
Yeah, they grow.
Or did they take it? Like, did coffee come from Europe and was transplanted?
I don't know.
Tobacco was
transported to the New World.
Like, tomatoes.
Was it?
Tomatoes were native.
I thought that was the other way around.
There were no horses here. They brought horses from the old world, but then horses were able to survive here. So there are actual native horses.
Potatoes from the New World to the Old World.
Okay.
I think tomatoes too.
Right? Yeah, tomatoes. Tomatoes in the Old World, but they thought they assumed they were poisonous because they were related to nightshade,
and they thought that meant.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, then they are poisonous.
Oh right, yeah, yeah. No, it sucks. I had a salad for lunch today with some tomatoes in it, this will be the last episode of Video Games Hot Dogs. Sorry, guys. Coffee. So when you think about coffee, you think, they grow coffee in Colombia. They apparently grow coffee in Puerto Rico. I always thought of coffee as being an Eastern European thing originally.
I don't know.
That is an excellent question. I really don't know.
Are their climates similar? We should look at everything.
They're like
internets.
They're equatorial, right? Like, or is that,
is Turkey equatorial?
It's getting closer.
Yeah, I guess it is getting closer because the equator goes across Egypt, right? Like it sort of cuts the very top off of so the entire Middle East is pretty equatorial.
Yeah,
we don't think of Europe as being as far north as it is,
right?
But it's pretty far north. Yeah. So coffee. We played Puerto Rico. What else did we play? We played a game of Kingdom Builder, which I did not care for.
I liked it.
It's a game that starts with, I think we were playing it wrong too, according to the conversation.
I don't think
we
were, because
you think she was just wrong?
Yeah, I think she was wrong, because from the other description that Chris Moyer gave, they were also the same.
You select some scoring criteria in the very beginning of the game, so the way that it plays is entirely different from game to game.
Cool.
Well, not the way that it plays necessarily, but the things that you do to get points. I have this sort of problem with Euro games where I want to like build a cool farm, or I want to make a long train route or whatever, and I want the scoring to reward that, as opposed to I want to make a train that scores the most points or make a farm that scores the most points.
Huh, okay.
Dungeon Lords is a particularly bad example of that, I think, because what you are thinking about the whole time you are making a dungeon is not what would make the awesomest dungeon, but who am I in competition with for the most imps prize? Who am I in competition with for the most rooms prize? Like, how many of these tunnels do I need to get those points at the end of the game? And I just, it's this layer of meta thought on the whole thing that I just don't find as appealing as when there is just a goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even something like Monopoly, right? The goal is to have a bunch of money, and you're doing things that give you a bunch of money, as opposed to, like, your goal is some weird thing at the end that will be worth some certain number of victory points.
Yeah, I mean, there is something about playing towards this abstract score that you don't even know what it is. But with Kingdom Builder, I didn't feel like it was that distinct, right? Because you know what the scoring criteria is, and you are doing things that are either giving you points in a pretty obvious way or setting you up for future point gain. Like, you know, like it was pretty direct for me. I didn't feel like it was scoring at the end of the game, and I hadn't even been thinking about it up to that point.
Oh, see, I did, because I was just like, yeah, I want to put some little wooden pieces in these hexes.
Yeah.
It's cool. I wasn't building a kingdom. That's the thing. You weren't building a kingdom. You were putting a bunch of houses in a bunch of squares with weird rules about where you could put them, and then you were getting a bunch of points based on, I don't know, some weird thing at the end where it's like, how many of your things are adjacent to water? Which was fairly straightforward, but then like...
Yeah. I mean, but you know all of these. Like, you know how it's going to be scored. And so like, that's the only... okay, yes. If you're just trying to make a cool looking kingdom in the shape of like a diamond...
Yeah, like what if all I want to do is like have as big a triangle as I can have?
Well, then you are playing a different game.
Maybe I should play Triangle Builder.
You can, yeah, you can win your game, but the other people are going to win Kingdom Builder.
Okay.
Oh, I may have to start playing all board games that way.
Yeah,
just by rules of your own goal.
I'm always winning the game.
No matter how poorly I'm doing on the scoring track, as usual, I'll just declare myself the winner on my own terms.
I mean, that's what confidence is, right?
Yeah.
Fake it.
You played a game of Small World.
That's true.
You played...
The iPad translation of that is apparently pretty good.
It is, yeah. And it makes me not ever really want to play the board game version of it again, just because there's a lot of, like...
The scoring kind of fiddly.
Moving shit around and counting stuff, you know? I mean, it's just, like... You get spoiled on those things. I don't see myself ever playing another game of Ticket to Ride on a board.
Huh.
Just because there's, like, just so many little pieces to move around and shit. Just give me the iPad. Give me a Microsoft Surface.
I wonder what the people that did the Elder Signs app are working on now.
Give me an Oculus Rift so that I can actually ride a train everywhere that my routes go in real time.
It's like the 3D goggles.
Oh, right. That's right.
Apparently the neighbors are having a weed eater and motorcycle convention.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Maybe they're building the one out of the other.
Oh, man. I wonder if you could make like a hovercraft. If you... Like, and it was not, it did not actually hover. It just let you float in midair by whacking the ground with weed eater cord. Right? So it would be like an extremely destructive hovercraft. Yeah.
Wouldn't that just dig down?
I don't know, man.
Like, I feel like if it has enough force to keep you aloft, it has a lot of force.
If you turn a weed eater on its side and just run it into the ground, I think it would bounce up off of the ground.
Okay.
Right? So if you put it directly below you, like if you turned on the weed eater and you mounted it like a pogo stick, I think you would basically just be floating 6 inches off the ground.
I think that's probably true.
It'd be pretty good. Until you ran out of cord, and then it would just grind to a halt.
I mean, maybe if you had some sort of tripod of three of them going at the same time. I'm having a hard time imagining you being able to balance on the end of a weed eater.
Yeah, that's because you've never seen me on a pogo stick.
That's true. I have never seen you on a pogo stick.
I think I've never actually seen a pogo stick. You'd think, like, you watch television in the 70s and 80s, and you think, man, everybody's got a pogo stick.
Yeah.
Let's go to the store and get a pogo stick. But you go to the store, and you're like, hey, can I have a pogo stick? And they're like, fuck no, we got pogs.
I think you might be thinking of hula hoop.
You can get a hula hoop.
Yeah.
You get that at the swimming pool supply store for some reason. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just what I think of. That's where I think I would go if I wanted a hula hoop. Remember that guy brought to a KOL con hula hoops that were...
Different sizes.
Yeah, he figured out how tall we all were and made us each a hula hoop that was actually calibrated to our height.
Whoa.
And
turns
suddenly,
out,
you
yeah.
can comfortably hula hoop. Like,
turns
if you
out,
have one that's the right size, it's way fucking easier.
Adults need them much larger than the kid size ones.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such a pain in the ass to hula hoop.
Yeah. A little weird.
Yeah.
So if you thought you couldn't hula hoop, it wasn't you. It was the hoop.
Yep.
So get a bigger hula hoop, which I think he just made by taping different hula hoops together.
It might have been spaghetti.
Okay. Yeah. You just, you know, we'll throw this at the wall and see which one is a hula hoop.
Yep.
Yeah, and I saw the best internet video today.
Yeah?
It was these hamsters that had a hamster wheel that was horizontal instead of vertical, like a rotating dish that they would run in.
Oh, okay.
And two of them got in it and kept falling down, so it was like a hamster centrifuge. It was really funny.
All right.
Huh.
Riff has quit Asymmetric Publications and started to work for Reddit.
Yep.
Is what has happened.
I got a tattoo of that little robot face. No, I don't.
Was it a robot or an alien?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even read Reddit.
You should get a Diesel Sweeties tattoo of that little robot face. Ugh. Wait, do you not like Diesel Sweeties?
I don't think it's funny.
Eh, okay. I'll give you that.
Wait, so you're trying to say you don't like to read things that aren't funny?
My preference is to read things that are funny.
Whatever.
Man, expand your horizons,
Jesus,
man.
Yeah.
Man, if I wanted to read things that weren't funny, I'd read friggin' Ulysses or something.
Or Atlas Shrugged.
Hmm.
Yeah. Ugh.
I played a video game called Hyperspace Pinball, which I wrote down that that was a thing that I should talk about, but I don't really believe
that anymore.
What I wrote. It's like a
Did
video.
You've just been writing down notes for yourself that are lies?
Yeah. I was like, all right, what can I do to make my life more like Castlevania 2? I'm just going to make it so half of the things that I tell myself are just bullshit and the other half are nonsense. So.
Right in your
this worked out pretty well.
To-do list to bang your head on the side of
Deborah Cliff. Yeah. I mean, just, I'm trolling nursing homes to find somebody named Deborah whose last name is Cliff. Also, I'm trolling nursing homes by just constantly walking up to them like I'm going to do something and then walking away. And then when they're like, can I help you? Nope.
Nope.
Walk away again. Just on a weird video loop.
Yeah, I came here to visit nobody. Never mind.
Yep. And then leave and go to the next one.
Yeah.
That's, what a day. Anyway, it is a cool idea. It was just like a beta build of it that is available for download. I think
how is it different or better than any other video game pinball game?
Well, it's got, almost no features on the playfield, so that's something. Huh. It has Arkanoid-style monsters that are moving around that you got to hit with the balls.
Okay.
It's got some power-ups, which will make the ball start having fire.
Okay.
Which I guess makes it hurt
the Mexicans
dudes more. And then as you level up, it adds more things to the playfield, which is sort of cool, right? Because it's It is like a pinball table with all these weird scoring things, but it introduces elements of it slowly so that you actually sort of understand what's going on.
So like suddenly a ramp appears? Or
yeah,
something?
Or yeah, or just like some other little bumpers or some, yeah,
that's,
some other...
That's interesting.
It
that is kind of cool.
Actually. The actual physics of the pinball play are not super great. I found myself pretty reliably just like barely tossing the ball up and it falls down out of the other flipper and then I hit it and then it barely tosses up and falls down out of the other flipper and every once in a while the ball would just go straight through the flipper, which was a little dissatisfying. But it is a beta and I'll probably never remember to look at it again. But if it comes out later and is super great, you heard it here first, folks. I also played a little bit of a game called Cart Life, which is basically like a really depressing simulator of running a small business in a city where you're either a divorced woman who has to earn a fixed amount of money in a week to buy your kids some fancy clothes or something so that you'll have a better chance of winning a custody hearing, or you are a Ukrainian immigrant who shows up and buys a newspaper stand.
Wow, that sounds... Yeah, wow.
And there's a lot of systems. It is a very like all simulation games, it is a very complicated lemonade stand game. But in this one I was the Ukrainian guy and you have a cat and you move into a hotel and they don't let cats in there, so you have to sneak in and you have a conversation with the cat where you're like you have to be quiet and the cat's like meow. Yeah. But then I was starving and I went to the grocery store and I bought some food and I couldn't figure out how to eat it. So that's when I stopped playing.
Yeah.
Because
Did
I
you
think
you die of starvation?
No, you just it would let it's just stopped letting you do anything else. Like I also didn't really figure out how this first mini game worked, where in order to do the work, like the sort of the way that they simulate the drudgery of doing things, like cutting open a bundle of newspapers and folding each one of them and putting it on a shelf, is you have to keep typing, like folding it, folding another one.
Wow!
I hope I sell a lot of these. I hope today is a good day. Like that part of the way that it does the like sort of internalization of you know the internal monologue of the main characters by making you type these things as you perform these actions. Anyway, it seems interesting, but it is like I said, my hunger meter was all the way empty, and he kept saying, oh, "I'm so hungry, I can't do anything because I'm so hungry."
Well, had you gotten so hungry that you couldn't eat? Like you were too weak to lift the food to your face?
I just couldn't find that. I bought a box of hot dog buns and some peanut butter and some jelly. And I was like, you know, that would work. Like, it's not, admittedly, not a traditional meal, but you could eat that.
Yeah. Well, but maybe they've never heard of peanut butter and jelly hot dogs.
A peanut butter
in
jelly
Ukraine.
Dog. Yeah. No, that's one of the advantages of, like, apparently the woman is a picky eater, and so she won't eat garbage, but the Ukrainian guy will eat anything. That's one stereotype about Ukrainians, is they will eat whatever. But apparently not a peanut butter jelly dog. I got some peanut butter and jelly. And I was like, surely on the next page there is some bread and I can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That like that because there's some crafting and stuff in this because you can sell other things at the store. I think you can go to the supermarket, buy some coffee, and then use it to make coffee at your newspaper stand and sell it.
Okay.
Which is probably totally against the law. I don't think you can just do that.
I mean, kids don't go to jail for selling lemonade.
Yeah, but they're kids.
Man, there is this... Speaking of which, there's this thing in my neighborhood that's kind of pissing me off.
Okay.
I don't know why this pisses me off. Why does this piss me
off? I don't know what it is.
Tell us what it is.
There are some kids. There are some kids that have opened like a super, super pro snow cone stand with 30 bottled flavors and a tent, like a tent. Like they go and they set up like a nice looking white tent thing, you know.
Where is this?
It's right next to it's like the neighbor's house. Huh. There have been all these workmen, like they're trying to sell this house that got foreclosed on across the street, and they've done just all this work on the outside of it. And so there have been this steady stream of workmen there for the last like 3 months, or there's always dudes there. And so the first time I saw it, I was like, lemonade stand. But like, no, they've just, and it's always like the parents working there. Mm. So what bothers me about this is that this is basically just like a clearly adult run, unlicensed food stand.
Well, I mean, is it snow cones? Because, come on.
I feel like you can't just go and set up a snow cone stand. I don't think that...
Not simply set up a snow cone
stand? If you had a hot dog cart, you couldn't just buy... I could not just buy a hot dog cart and go and start selling people hot dogs on the street. I would expect to be arrested if I did that.
There's that guy with the bicycle horn that goes up and down our street selling...
Yeah.
Whatever they, that stuff is.
Yeah, there might be some rules about concessions that are okay.
They sell a lot of like those little wagon wheel cracker things. And I think they might have a cooler that they sell.
They don't arrest the tamale lady.
Sure, but so that seems different to me. Like what? So when a woman from our neighborhood comes to the door and says, "Do you want to buy some tamales?" Like, I get that is illegal. Right? That because you're not really supposed to sell food without going through all the regulations that you're supposed to go through. But in this case, this just, like, these are people in a wealthy neighborhood, right? Like, this is not somebody
they're having
going,
a hard time getting in speed. They have, like, 25 kids.
This is not those neighbors. It's not the neighbors. That's a dentist. He's doing fine.
Okay.
Everybody needs their teeth pulled.
Every
no matter how
teeth.
Bad the economy gets, dentistry never slows down. Because even bad economy, you can't afford toothpaste, we'll pull your teeth.
Yeah. And then you can sell them to the tooth fairy.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
That's true.
I don't know, man.
Grind them up into glue.
I would feel weird. Okay. So I would not feel weird if there was a kid. Yeah. What? Where do you think glue comes from?
Horse bones.
And dude teeth.
Well, people's teeth are made out of the same thing that horse bones are, right?
I don't know that that's true.
What? They're bones.
Carbon? Sure. Okay. Fine.
If you can make tooth glue, you could use that to glue in some more teeth to replace the ones you took out.
Oh, man. Yeah. You could start using the parts of the... So you go out back of the glue factory and you find the ground up horse bones that didn't get used.
Right.
Yeah. You make more teeth out of those.
Right. Oh, yeah. Just whittle some teeth out of horse bones?
No, you glue them together. You make like a... You know, you like to make a mold. It would not bother me if there was a lemonade stand with some little kid with a handmade sign that said lemonade, 25 cents, and was selling lemonade.
But the moment that he like prints one out on his printer, he's gone too pro.
The moment that this is clearly a thing that somebody spent a few hundred dollars to set up and is being run by somebody's parents, that's the point at which I'm like, you know, that's not cute. Get a fucking job.
It is a job.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you don't get to just sell snow cones out of your yard as a grown-ass woman.
Unless it's
like a prostitution front. Yeah, you go up and you're like, I would like the strawberry snow cone.
You can sell the contents of your house in your yard.
Yeah. We didn't get arrested.
Maybe it's just a yard sale.
Oh, and no, they yeah. Just but, had a well, lot we have so many extra snow cones. Yeah, you want to... Yeah, it's... Okay.
I'm not... Not knowing the law one way or the other, I'm not sure about the whole.
Well, I'm less concerned about it. Like I'm just hiding behind the law to justify my bigotry. I'm assuming this is bigoted somehow that I don't like that I do, like. I'm okay with a kid having a
You're
lemonade
racist
stand,
towards
but
snow
I'm not
cones?
Okay. But I'm not okay with like a rich kid having a high end profitable lemonade stand.
You don't want kids to make any money.
I want it, if they make money, I want it to be cute. I don't want them to be just like little miniature versions of shitty entrepreneurs.
If it's the parents selling the snow cones, yeah, and that it always is, man.
They're out there like 8 hours a day. Like the kids don't have the patience for that. It's always just moms hanging out there, and that's like where they sit to talk about like gossiping, probably about the drug dealers that live in my house. All my neighbors always assume I'm a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like the nice car and a ponytail means you're a drug dealer.
Did have they
also constantly selling people drugs and then murdering my enemies?
I mean, have they approached you wanting
drugs? See, this is the worst thing about this. If those kids start selling drugs,
yeah,
I will not be allowed to murder them like I would my adult enemies.
Sure you can. Because this is real life, not some sort of video game.
Oh. Right.
Yep.
Wow. I suddenly feel so free. Kevin, what's in the news?
Well, the sort of the most striking news from the past week is that NCSoft is shutting down Paragon Studios, and thus, by extension, shutting down City of Heroes by the end of 2012.
Yeah, like November is what they're looking at. I was reading, I saw that story, and then I saw a news story that said that they reported that their revenue had dropped below $1 million a month. And I thought, you know, and I did this thing that I hate it when people do this to us, but I thought, that's a lot of money. It doesn't seem like they would really need to shut it down. Like it seems like
how many people are running.
Yeah, and then it turns out I saw a blog post from I think Scott Hartzman that was like apparently there were like 80 people that worked there.
How much do you think that they have server costs? Like how much are the server costs for that thing?
I bet it's significant. I mean, because
going
free to play, 25 grand a month?
Yes.
Oh, easily.
Okay. So if it's 25 grand a month,
Which is then 2.5% of their revenue. Like when they say they dropped below $1 million a month, I'm assuming they're making somewhere around $1 million a month.
But
right?
Even with 80 people,
with 80 people, $1 million a month does not go very far. And well, like I understand that just from like looking at our own operations and
people,
multiplying everything up.
80 people with a salary of 125 grand is $10 million a year, right?
Well. No, because it costs more than, like, not as much more as they would have you believe, but it does cost.
Well, right,
it costs 125 or 135% of a person's salary to employ them. So and that's if you don't have to buy them a chair.
Couldn't you have 50 people at 50 grand
you probably,
a year and still run that game?
Which is what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Like, it really does seem like the kind of thing that would be foolish to not try to scale it back.
Yeah, that's
and
what,
just
that's
say like, hey,
get.
Would you guys rather have no jobs at all, or would you rather take a 30% pay cut? And I bet that a lot of them would take a 30% pay cut, and then you could probably hobble along with the ones who were willing to stay.
I mean, you could also
that.
Just cut 30% of the jobs.
Cut a bunch of dudes. I mean, I'm sure that it takes a lot of guys to run that thing, right? Because there are a lot of people playing for every person that gives them any money is
sure.
What I would expect just based on it being a free-to-play thing. But it does, I don't know, it just seems, like a weird move to
yep.
me. Like, it's hard for me to
that,
imagine.
Like, they weren't willing to try a skeletal approach because if they can even keep it vaguely the same sort of quality level, then they're basically throwing away millions of dollars of revenue over the next couple of months that they could keep the game up.
Yeah. I'm sure that from their side of the equation, everything looks very different. But like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just, it is hard for me to imagine, you know, we run a free-to-play MMO and that's what all of our jobs are. And I have a hard time imagining it getting to the point where it actually had to shut down because I could run it a little bit just by myself.
Yeah.
Right? And so with 10% of our staff, we could hobble along and have the thing continue to exist.
Right.
Right? And
it would have to, like, the amount of money coming in would have to drop so low that it wasn't even paying for hosting costs.
Yeah, for its reduced hosting costs. Right? And I mean, I don't know if, like, you know, do they own a data center? Right? Like, is that the thing? Like, are they... Mm. Do they need to sell all of their infrastructure in order to
I don't know.
Not lose money? I mean, it's hard to say. Like, also, that game has been around long enough. I mean, just looking at the costs of setting up the servers for Kingdom of Loathing in the beginning compared to what it would cost to duplicate that hardware now, it is 5% the cost. I am guessing that we could, for 5% of our initial server outlay, get hardware that is identical to that and run the game on it just fine. And, you know, that they're using the same sorts of computers that all servers are, right? So it just, I don't know, man. I wonder what that story actually is.
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe
you know,
this
it's
is
very
just
easy
news.
To say, like, no, hey, I got an idea. Instead of going out of business, just don't go out of business. Duh. I can't believe you guys didn't think of this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know all the facts for sure. So,
I mean, they're being owned by, like, the other thing about Kingdom of Loathing is
pwned.
That if the shit hits the fan and I have to fire everybody, the guy that's in charge of this game, am still a guy that cares about this game and wants it to exist.
Right.
And the people who are, you know, if there were any auteurs behind City of Heroes, they're long gone. And, you know, now it's just a, like, which is not to say that the people working on it don't care about it, but maybe the people making these decisions don't care about it.
Sure. I mean, it's the, like, they're being its own, shut down by a parent thing. Company, so it's not, there's not as much choice involved, I think. It is striking that it seems like the parent company isn't willing to consider restructuring in a way that they continue to make a bunch of money.
Unless they've been trying to restructure and nobody will agree to anything.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Maybe there's a deadlock in the boardroom. Boardlock in the dead room.
On the other side of the spectrum of people making money.
Lock room in the dead board.
Valve is doing just fine. And they're hiring folks. Looks like they're trying to hire...
To build a better mouse.
They're being really secretive about what they want. They're hiring, like,
Oculus
industrial
Rift.
Designers and hardware engineers and that kind of thing, and, like, nobody knows what they're doing.
They want to make a miraculous new invention called the iPad.
They've got a patent for a controller with interchangeable parts, which they've had for a couple of years, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
You know, all I want is a fucking gaze tracking mouse, and I don't want to have to go and get thrown from a horse and paralyzed from the neck down to get one.
Uh-huh.
Because they have those.
You want a thing that knows what window you're trying to type into?
No, I want a thing where I can, like, touch my tongue to the roof of my mouth and it creates a pointer on the screen wherever I'm looking, and then whenever I move it to something I go and it clicks. And then is a double click. And is a triple click. And I don't have to take my hands off the keyboard. And I don't, my finger doesn't hurt all the time from constant mouse clicking. My tongue would probably hurt from
I think this would have
muscular?
A strange impact on your ability to watch porn on your computer.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to take it very seriously.
Yeah, I guess that's true. No, and I'm normally just like, this is fucking serious business. is what this is.
Yeah, I mean, there was also that guy that was doing, what was it, wearable computing at Valve or something? Or
yeah, they seem to be paying a lot of attention to the Google goggle.
Google goggle. They had Apple came and had a meeting with them a couple months ago. So who knows what's going on over there?
It's like, dear Valve, we're going to kill you. Love Apple.
They finally going to do the thing where you does VR by painting the images
on the back of
your retina with lasers.
Oh man, infinite big screen.
20 years.
Imagine if you had that, you could just be like, I would like to watch a movie on the entire Grand Canyon. So I would just have you floating in midair in front of the entire Grand Canyon, and that would be your screen.
Heads up display and mini map for while you're driving.
Yeah. Okay. There are those cultures, those indigenous cultures that just have that, apparently.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, the dream time.
And you can learn it.
No, the like location and direction sense built in.
You mean like pigeons?
Well, I mean humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pigeons.
Yeah, humans that are owned by Mike Tyson. Yeah. So I can see why you would get confused.
Humans that speak a language that's a combination of two other languages.
Mike Tyson bought this island in the South Pacific, and then, like, just because of this weird contract law in that country, he also owned as slaves the entire indigenous population of that island. None of this actually happened. what happened is that Mike Tyson is an enthusiastic pigeon keeper.
That is true.
And Riff said something about pigeons.
Yes. So speaking of Valve, they also formally launched their Greenlight program.
First game on it, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
And then, like, what, 2-3 days later, they declared, oh, by the way, you have to pay $100 if you want your game listed on this, because apparently it just instantly filled up with spam and trolls and bullshit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's I heard anyway.
There's some friction against that. I've been watching some lively Twitter debates today about that, but it kind of feels like a necessary evil to me. They're donating the money to Child's Play.
They're not keeping
all of
the money
that goes in. They're not keeping. It's just going to charity.
Same thing. Like, and you need to charge people a little bit to keep nonsense out.
So
but then why
there was the idea like you if they just made you fill out a form and mail it in, that would be the same barrier to entry. But then they have to hire somebody to look at those forms. Yeah. I think that it would.
Here's a question though, like why.
Why
don't they just sell every game that gets that's willing to spend $100 to ask to get on there?
I think that Valve is a layer of protection between the customer and getting ripped off. Like Valve does not want to sell a bullshit game that misrepresents what it is, and then the customer comes back and says, "What the fuck, Valve? Why did you sell me this broken bullshit?"
I think they also just want a certain level of minimum quality as games.
But I think as a pragmatic concern, they want that quality.
How is that going to come out of a community vetted system? Like, I guess I don't understand.
I mean, I'm sure Valve has veto.
I mean, have you ever seen the internet, though? Like, every time anybody puts anything important on the internet, the Something Awful goons just come and fucking ruin it. Hank the Angry Drunken Dwarf was people's sexiest person of the year. You know, the year that they ask the internet.
Well, right. This is my question. Like, what value is Valve getting out of having people with Steam accounts voting on stuff?
Them not having to vet every single thing that gets sold.
Is that such a burden?
I would imagine it is apparently a non-negligible thing that somebody has to do, and if they can get the community to save them the trouble and to do so gladly, then why not?
It's the sort of thing like the way Kickstarter is sort of. I mean, if Valve has a game listed in the thing that they're not sure of whether it's going to be profitable or not, but enough people say, yeah, I'd buy that it makes it more of a
the thing about
bet.
Kickstarter, though, is people say, yeah, I would buy that by buying it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that.
That's true.
And you also
that's
don't true. Have people saying, I don't want you to make this Kickstarter project and votes count against
you
the yes votes.
You can't anti-fund a Kickstarter project.
Oh, can you no vote?
It's either yes or no.
Yeah, apparently you vote yes or no, as opposed to yes or abstain.
It's like, yes, I would buy this if it came out. No, I wouldn't, or I'm not interested. It's like the same button. So I don't know what that means.
The idea, like, I think a lot of the friction against this is coming from the notion of $100 being a lot of money.
I mean, it's a lot of money to a kid who their only form of income is some sort of bullshit snow cone stand.
Well, sure. Yeah, but that kid doesn't have a computer that he's capable of developing software on.
Well,
he
designed the snow cone stand.
He did it.
He modeled
the...
He could go to the library.
So, I mean, sure, I guess if you're like a hobo...
Using the Unreal Engine to
If you're a hobo
snow cone
who
stand.
Used your library's copy of Game Maker to make... in fact, I think Derek Yu was a hobo who actually used his library's copy of Game Maker to make Spelunky. And yeah, this is perfect for guys like him. No way that dude could have come up with $100.
Right.
But yeah, you know, if you don't think that you're going to be able to sell $100 worth of your game on Steam, keep your fucking shit off of Steam. I don't know. It's not that I don't see the objections to it, and I'm curious how the whole thing is going to pan out. You know, like I don't know what this means for Steam. Like, because it is an internet thing, you know, it works well for us. I think that because of Greenlight, we have a much, much better chance of being able to sell Word Realms on Steam because we have $100. We can give them $100. We submit it. We can tell our tens of thousands of fans, like, hey, would you mind going and
honestly,
voting?
I think yes. We probably would have made it through Valve's own vetting.
Except that we have no idea how that works and no idea how to even get started. Whereas now there is an open avenue to us that has been published and like, hey, you want to sell your game on Steam? Here's what you do.
Right.
Right? And now there is that. And before there was not that. Before, I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure that if you had spent...
I'm sure we could have found
that. Sure. I'm sure that I could have paid Kevin way more than $100 to do the research and the legwork that it would have taken to figure out how to even ask someone...
I don't think
it
would have taken that long.
You don't think it would have taken you 10 seconds?
Well,
because I do pay you $100 every 10 seconds.
If you're getting paid that much, I want a raise.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I can understand people reacting negatively to it in the first place, but like, you know, they're running a business.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
I'm reserving judgment until it's had some time to figure out what's going on with itself.
And I know that this isn't probably a lot of people would have said this about Hitler, but Gabe Newell has not yet done anything that makes me think that he's an asshole.
Huh.
Maybe nobody ever said that about Hitler. Maybe his mom right after he was born.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he wants food again? What a little prick.
God, those paintings suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skyrim, the Hearthfire DLC came out for Xbox.
Yep.
And they are promising it for PC eventually. But interestingly, they are not even sure if they're going to be able to ever provide any DLC to the PS3 version of Skyrim.
Why is that? Are they in a pissing contest with their distribution methodology?
No,
or
they were making it sound like PS3 just can't handle it. It's too like the DLC is too large and too complicated. That's the way they are spinning it. Is that it's a fine piece of hardware, but we're having a really hard time getting it so that it doesn't fucking crash all the time when we try to get it to run.
Well, I think that's on them and not on the PS3.
Well, except for they can do it just fine on the Xbox and they can do it just fine on a PC. So, I don't know.
You know? I don't really have any interest in this DLC. I don't like.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Sky, like, I bought Dawnguard and haven't played it yet, and I still think that what I'm going to do is just buy all the DLC. And then a year from now or a year and a half from now, when it's all out, just start a new game of Skyrim and try to maybe play it as a thief or something. And
I played Skyrim for more than 200 hours. I think I kind of had enough of it.
I think I had like 40 or 50 hours played, and I didn't get nearly as far as you guys before I sort of ran out of time.
And the cab driver driving out to the airport for flight to Dragon Con turned out he was a big old RPG gamer. He was talking about Skyrim. Dude had more than 400 hours logged.
I mean, people.
At least he was a guy that would say that he had more than 400.
There are a lot of people who got Dawnguard and spent, you know, 20, 30 hours playing it the first couple days, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was. There were definitely people still excited about that.
I wouldn't even know what anything was on my character. I wouldn't remember where any of my stuff came from or what. Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
Not that.
I was watching my girlfriend play and she had bought the house that you recommended, the one in Silverwind Home Forge.
Uh-huh.
It seemed really cool. There were all these armor racks with different suits of armor that she had on them and like a whole bunch of places to put weapons on the wall. And I was like, wait, I only had one of those.
Yep.
This is lame. All of my sweet wizard staffs were just like littered on the ground next to my dragon bones. You can't even lean anything against anything.
I forget where the last house was that I eventually picked out as my favorite one that had a little wooden bin along one of the walls that was like got hit just right by a sunbeam that I just started dumping every gemstone that I found in there, and it was beautiful.
Huh.
It was like I had a little stained glass window pile on the floor.
In the new DLC, you can just make your own house.
So that seems cool.
And adopt a child.
Yeah.
Oh, great! But you can't kill it. So I can give this child life, but I can't take it away.
Might be able to kill it.
Lame.
Actually. I think you probably can't.
Only if you wall it into, if you put it in the bathroom and don't give it any doors.
Yeah.
No wait. How does that work? The only way I was able to kill my Sim was by accident trying to make dinner.
Dinner. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Light the kitchen on fire.
Just burned himself to death.
Yep.
Pretty good cook.
I think
he was just microwaving a pizza.
Blizzard's StarCraft Heart of the Swarm is officially in beta.
Cool.
It's like an invitation only beta or whatever, but it's there's no NDA, so I think we'll probably be able to see a bunch of gameplay footage of that real soon.
I would
now
just as soon stay away from it. I mean,
I don't want to be,
because like I don't give a shit about the multiplayer stuff, which is I'm sure the only
that's what
thing
a lot of
that the larger world
about
cares about.
Yep.
Because I like, you know, I liked the super hackneyed and contrived story of the first StarCraft 2. You still haven't played it.
I haven't yet.
Yeah. I liked the
bad friend.
I liked the branching that makes it so no matter what you do is the right thing to do.
Hmm. And the tasty way to do it.
Yeah. And I still haven't played, I still haven't played the third episode of The Walking Dead game, which is sort of the opposite of that. Like, no matter what you choose, it's fucking horrible.
Everybody dies.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for all of it to come out.
That's where I am.
Yeah. Too. I am enjoying the episodic nature of episodic. I'm enjoying saying episodic wrong, and I'm enjoying the episodic nature.
I'm afraid that I would forget what had been going on.
You don't, man. It's so fucking like, ugh, God. I still remember every horrible thing that I did.
So is there just no way to, like, get everybody to survive?
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not.
There better not be.
Huh.
This laptop sure does have a lot of pop-ups and stuff that are just happening. They're like pop-ups from the laptop manufacturer and pop-ups
That's
from Norton Antivirus.
Fucked up. Like, yeah. I have grown to hate Norton and their antivirus software. Like, back in the really early days of the PCs, back in DOS days, I had Norton and used it from time to time, and it seemed fine. But like, it seems to have gotten to this point where it is
as intrusive as any virus.
Yeah, it is. It just super super unfriendly. So screw that.
Yeah, you heard it here. Screw Norton, Ed Norton. His portrayal of Bruce Banner, bullshit. So this assignment, The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this a lot more than most of the past few assignments, frankly. Yeah.
You think it's better than Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines?
Oh, okay. I don't know if I'll go that far. But I'm certainly more likely to finish it.
You could side with the Zoras.
Are you spoiling yourself or no?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't. My plan was to play as much as I could remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at spoilers to finish it for next week, and then maybe even play through the second quest, because I feel like if I got spoilers, I would be more than willing to just play through the second quest.
I've gotten pretty far without spoilers, just muddling through, and just gamer's intuition of that looks like a thing I can probably put a bomb on.
I mean, like, mine is more just memory.
Level 5.
Yeah, I've made it through level 4, but then I did end up glancing at like a really high level walkthrough, because when I got to level 3 and the guy was like, did you get the sword from the old man on top of the waterfall? I was like, wait, is that a thing that you can get this early?
Hmm.
And I wanted to look up how many hearts I needed to get that. And then what I saw, the first thing that I searched for was like, yeah, okay, so the first thing you do is beat level 1 and then go get the 3 heart containers that you can get that are just out in the world from the very beginning.
Hmm.
And then you can go get the white sword.
Yeah, I found the white sword just randomly wandering around and was kind of upset that I couldn't pick it up.
I definitely remembered where it was, and I just hadn't bothered to go north really at all because I knew that was sort of later. So I found levels 1 through 4 just from memory. I was like, all right, I remember there being something behind that bush and that it was level 8.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
I found 1 and then
6.
I found 1 and then the sword, which I couldn't pick up, and then
the one in the graveyard or the one at the top of the waterfall?
The one at the top of the waterfall, and then the one in the graveyard.
Okay.
And then I found 6.
Oh, is the other sword in the graveyard? The master sword is in the graveyard? Oh, that's cool. How many hearts do you need to get that one?
I don't know.
No idea.
I haven't got it yet, whatever it is.
They don't really tell you.
Yeah, they really don't. They say master using it and you can have
And I'm like, how do I get to master it if I can't touch it?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I intended to post a link to that article.
Somebody else did.
Oh, to the localization article?
I don't think so.
I think he posted some awesome links to the item drops thing, which was just part of the description of a speedrun video, which is weird. But I mean, that was all, like, it was that speedrun was all about luck manipulation by counting frames, which
machine assisted speedrun or whatever.
Yeah.
How fast did it get?
I don't know. I lose interest in speedruns when they start doing weird shit like go down to go up and stuff. Yeah, like just exploiting weird glitches in the way that transitions between rooms work, so that you go out the bottom and then do something that pops you up to the top of the other room just to move.
Sometimes those are interesting if they're weird tricks, but for the most part, I'd rather watch a non-mess.
The one weird trick to a flat tummy. I'm enjoying Legend of Zelda.
Me too.
I'm having fun. I am more or less trying to beat it without getting hit, just because
it's, knowing how the item drops
work. Yeah, knowing how the item drops work, I'm just like, I'm not going to have to farm anything. And also, it's just easier when you can shoot. Yeah. So, it, like...
Yeah, that is true.
Like, I'm just, like, saving at the beginning of every screen, and then usually, unless it's been a long time since I remember to do a save state, I usually just, like, reload if I get hit.
I haven't been going that far, but definitely if I get to a room filled with, like...
Motherfucking dark nuts.
Yeah, blue dark nuts. I can't beat that room without having lasers, so...
Lasers. Yeah. I am just trying to do it without spoilers, and I found Dungeon 1 and then 6... And I'm like, oh God. And so I need to be more vigilant or diligent about bombing stuff. Because I was just, I think those are the only two, 1 and 6 are the only two that you don't have to like find. Like those are the only ones with open doors.
No, 2 and 3,
a bunch of them do.
2 and 3 are just there. You can just walk to them from the beginning. Yeah.
Okay.
I just remember where they were. How much of the map is actually open to you from the beginning? Can you get to every square on the overworld map except the ones that require the raft?
The raft. I think there might be some places you need the ladder to get to as well.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah.
The vast majority of it seems to be available. I need to just be more like careful about how I'm traversing the map, because I've gone most over most of it and have not found it's 2 or 3 yet.
I found 9 just randomly bombing a thing that looked like it could maybe be bombed.
Yeah, it's Spectacle Rock, right?
Yeah.
That's where 9 is. It's good. Looks like glasses.
Yes.
It doesn't look like glasses. It's got those lion guys, those weird lion centaurs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Up there.
Oh, those guys are dicks.
Yeah, they are. I've yet to actually buy like the big shield and stuff.
I bought the big shield. It makes it so much nicer not having to get hit by the
Zora
fireball water dudes and the sword. Yeah, those things suck. Shitting things.
Those things suck. The screens on which those things exist are just a lot harder than the other screens, and they suck.
Yep. And what are the things that you can't hit them while they're moving?
Oh, P-hats. Those guys. Oh, I hate those guys.
It wouldn't be so bad if there weren't like 8 of them on every screen.
It wouldn't be so bad if they could also not hit you.
Also, it's the ghost of a flower. That's the way that it's described.
That's right. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So what did I... I thought it was weird as a kid, and I still think that it is weird now, that you get the boomerang and then you immediately get the magic. It's A, weird that you get the boomerang as a drop.
Yeah. That was very strange. I didn't remember that.
And then the second level doesn't have a treasure in it, unless I just missed something. But you get the magic boomerang, whether you have the boomerang or not, but again, it's just as a drop.
I thought it was interesting and strange that you can beat Dungeon 4 without getting the raft, which you have to, or maybe 3. Well, anyway, whichever one you get the raft in, you can beat that dungeon without getting the raft.
You don't have to get the...
can't get to the next one.
But you don't have to get the boomerang
or the bow. You don't have
to
get the bow. You don't have to get the boomerang, I mean, it's not that's definitely like a latter-day Zelda trick where you cannot beat the boss without the thing that you got.
Yeah.
Use the bow until you go out and buy arrows. Which is fucking weird.
It just seems super weird that, I don't know, you can finish this dungeon and maybe not know that you missed something in there and then just not be able to even find
it. Especially because level 2 does not have a treasure room. So you don't think, oh, you're like, man, some of the dungeons just don't have one.
Why do you think they went from overhead dungeon maps to the side view for the treasure room for the bow?
I don't know.
What is that all about?
It's weird.
It's very weird.
Because I don't think that it's actually any different, right? Like, I think that there are just invisible walls that make it seem like, right? Because you can face up on the bottom. Like, it doesn't switch to a new physics model or anything. Like, it's exactly the same. So I think there are just invisible black blocks that you can't walk through.
That's so weird.
Yeah. It's not like you can fall off the ladder or anything.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's neat. The idea, like, it expresses more when you're, like, moving through a secret passage to, like, go down, over, and up. Sure. Like, that's more of a cool thing than if you were just, like, going to an up.
Off the map or something.
Maybe they just were trying to avoid an up sprite. Mm. An upstairs sprite.
Or maybe, you know, all those dungeons fit together into that you know, that
spells out Zelda. The puzzle,
that's in the second quest.
But the first quest, they do all fit together into as like puzzle pieces. Maybe they
really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
So you put the swastika in the lizard's butt.
but it I mean, it works out to like a, I believe like a rectangle of rooms the way the overmap is. It might just be that they didn't have enough rooms in their file structure.
Huh.
For to have that room on the map. And so they needed an excuse for why this space wasn't on the map. Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, because Zelda was the game that, in order to like have sound effects for certain things, they just started playing over certain parts of the data.
Like the Paul's voice noise or whatever. Yeah, that was such a great...
Such a wonderful hack.
Yeah.
Man. And we're like, whatever. This can be 40 megs for some garbage.
Yep.
I'm having fun, and I want to keep playing it.
Yeah, I'm glad this is a two-week assignment.
Another thing that I remembered as a kid, there are... In a couple of the dungeons, there are rooms that have sand on the floor. Mm-hmm. And there are these worms that are just a bunch of, like, sort of balls that crawl on. And when you kill them, they never respawn. And you can only fight, like, two of those the entire game. There are some of the enemies that just don't ever respawn. And the in the last level, the eyeball with the things flying around it in a circle don't ever respawn. I think when you fight the little mini boss, like when in the middle of level 4 you just have to fight the fucking level 3 boss again.
Yeah.
Screw that. I hate that thing.
That flappy thing.
Yeah, the manhandler.
Yeah.
The like ball with 4 piranha plants sticking out the side. Yeah. Like I just like kept restoring until I could kill it with one bomb.
Yeah.
Because fuck that thing. Once it starts running around super fast, shooting fireballs. If it was shooting fireballs or running around, it would be hard. But doing both, it's like, F you, manhandler.
Man, that two-headed dragon.
Fu manhandler.
Wherever it is, it was a pain.
It was in 4, really? I didn't have any trouble with that at all. Yeah.
It may have partially been the fact that I got there with like 1.5 hearts, so I had to kill it without...
Without ever getting hit at all? Yeah.
Yeah.
When you cut its head off, it turns into a different weird red head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blonde redhead.
Pretty good game. We're going to continue playing it.
Indeed.
How about some listeners' mail?
Sure.
Kodrick continued. He asked a bunch of questions last week. I asked a similar question to this one in the KOL radio thread, but expanding to all video games and not just KOL. What's your favorite system that you've ever encountered in a video game? For me, and I know that a ton of people hated this, but I absolutely love the way that magic worked in Final Fantasy VIII. I also think the general character control in the Assassin's Creed games is goddamn beautiful, which is like 50% credit given to the amazing camera, something I don't think most people truly appreciate the difficulty of programming. So when I think about systems that I like... Mm-hmm. I think about the photography thing in BioShock.
Okay.
As a thing that I think is really cool because it's like optional. You can explore it if you want to. There are some tangible benefits for doing so. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a thing that you do instead of the normal moment-to-moment activities of the game because you sort of have to have this thing equipped that's not a weapon.
Right.
The best thing is if a dude is about to punch you in the face. And you get a picture of him. Yeah. So, it requires a little bit of sacrifice, a little bit of resource management.
I mean, I kind of liked that in Beyond Good and Evil, but like I was often pissed about how shitty my pictures were and still getting credit for the things.
You should probably never play Dead Rising.
Okay.
Because it'll say great picture.
Or Pokemon Snap.
All right. What else?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many systems.
I like the crafting in Minecraft. I was thinking about that. Yeah, I like a crafting system in general, but Minecraft is the first one I've seen where you're actually putting your ingredients in roughly the shape of the final product, and I don't know, it has a little bit more verisimilitude, a little more physicality.
It made me think of like the Herodric Cube a little bit,
yeah.
Which I liked a lot in the game, but I don't know that I love it as a system per se. I think about the like character development in general is like my favorite sort of sets of systems, like upgrading stuff and like getting more powerful and that kind of thing. And then I'm trying to think of the game that has done that the best that I like the most. And I think it might be Star Control 2. Cause I mean, you're a ship, and not like a character, but like I remember being extremely satisfied with the arc of, like, you start off and you kind of suck. Like, you are just not...
You really need to rely on your other ships and your flotilla to do the fighting for you for a long time.
A long, long time. And I feel like by the end of the game, if you've spent time collecting resources and stuff like that, your ship is really powerful.
Yeah, or even by the beginning of the game, if you the first thing you do is sell negative 999 landers.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that's one way of doing it.
No, but that screen to upgrade your ship was presented really well.
Yeah.
It was like sweet 16-bit graphics. Ah, man, that's good. You can get the dynamos.
Yep. they had a bunch of good upgrades, which like really tangibly changed how the game played.
Guns you could put in different places to make them shoot differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Upgrades are good. You know, it's fucking Gradius. Like, the upgrades in Gradius was a pretty clever system, because there was a single currency that would advance along. And so if you got five of those power-up boxes, you could either speed up five times, or you could do the level 3 one and a level 2 one. You could do a level 3 one and speed up twice. Like, it was very clever. It was a very clever way to, with a single button, introduce a fairly complex system of upgrades.
Yeah.
Oh, and a system that I haven't seen used in a long time that I really liked was Monster Rancher. Was like,
what about it?
Breeding. So you're breeding together monsters to get other monsters and stuff like that, and like carefully breeding stuff could get you some really cool, neat, unique monsters. But then the way that you got some of the most unique starting monsters was insert CDs into computer
random generation of a thing. There was a DS Monster Rancher that gave you a little square of graph paper for you to draw a picture onto.
Okay.
And it interpreted that into a monster in much the same way.
Huh. So, yeah, I mean, like, those are some of my favorite systems.
We should make a DS game where you, in order to create your player character, you just take a picture of your dick. Hmm. And then depending on, like, what, you know, the individual...
The attributes.
Yeah, the things that make your dick, also make your monster.
Oh.
I don't know what to call it. Pokemon 6. They're not even numbered, right?
No.
Yeah, that's good. Six is a new color.
Yeah.
Pokemon Black or White.
Man, speaking of which, speaking of Gradius, we got to do Life Force as an assignment one of these times. Yep. The guy at that panel, the Borderlands guy, they asked, what old franchise would you like to make revisit a new game in? Yeah. And he was like, either Contra or Life Force. And I was like, yeah. that was the only time I clapped during that entire presentation. When he said Life Force, I was like, fuck yeah. And then I was like, all golf clap, like, and can't hardly wait. Kadri continues, do you play scary games? Do you like scary games, Sydney? What are the scariest? For me, I was playing Silent Hill 2, and when I got to the bottom of the staircase at the boathouse, and I saw the door to hell from the cutscenes, I said, fuck this game, threw the controller across the room, turned off the game without saving, and then didn't play for a solid week. I mean, we played through Amnesia as an assignment.
I didn't get all that far. Silent Hill 2 was the last scary game. I think, actually, the only scary game I've managed to get all the way through, because the story was so good that I forced myself to keep going.
I mean, there were some pretty scary parts of Vampire.
Yeah, the hotel was pretty scary.
That was, playing it late at night with the sound up. God.
That's the only really scary part of that, though.
There was one other section that was scary-ish, but yeah.
The sewers were scary because of how boring and shitty they were. Wow, I'm scared that I'm never going to be able to stop playing this bullshit. These fucking sewers.
I've been watching a Let's Play recently of Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth.
Oh, man.
There is some scary shit in that.
Yeah, there is. Jesus. I have started that game so many times, but it's too... My problem is not that it is too scary, but that it is too fucking hard. Mm. Like, maybe I need to just watch a Let's Play of it so that I can see the rest of the stuff that they do in the game, because I think it's really good.
Yeah.
It's just sort of, I don't know, just so much fucking quick loading.
Right. Did you get to the bed in the hotel?
Yeah, where they're chasing you through and I finally, after 1,000 tries, I made it through the hotel and off into some other, then it's just like a warehouse full of dudes that are shooting you. So it's like suddenly fucking giant warehouse stealth mission. And
the Let's Play I'm watching had actually, he encountered a funny glitch where he, the first time the hotel chase sequence happens, he wasn't expecting it at all, so he got killed. And when he reloaded, it started doing the cutscenes of the guys approaching your room and all, except the door to his room was already open, so they just went into his room while they're saying whatever the lines that they do in the cutscene. And so he's like waking up and getting out of bed, and the dudes are already standing right next to him while everyone's saying their lines as though it was a normal situation, and they just killed him immediately.
How weird.
He's like, what just happened?
Ralph Red wrote, "Hi guys. I really like the interaction that you have with the Kingdom of Loathing player base, and I think it improves the game immensely. Do you think that other games could benefit from the same kind of developer-player interaction? Would you listen to a podcast from a dev team at EA or Blizzard? Keep up the good work, guys. I love you." You know, I listen to the Blizzard podcast, but it's just so fucking boring and sanitized and just like a bunch of PR.
Once you get to a certain size of company, I think it probably becomes impossible to do that sort of thing because you have to so carefully manage the
I mean, I wonder,
but maybe you don't.
Yeah, maybe you don't. Well, okay. I mean, I wonder
in a company's of that size opinion.
Sure,
you do.
I agree that that's the way it comes down. But like,
all
these companies that like the number of times this past weekend at Dragon Con that I heard like, we're working on this thing, but I can't talk about it, just over and over and over again. Yeah. And I'm like, you could talk about it, and like
then people would get excited.
People would get excited about it, and if you didn't, you know, like.
I mean, although the downside to that is if you get people excited about it too soon, then they're not excited anymore by the time you're ready for them to be.
I
think the bigger problem is that, like, when...
They view it as a promise, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And when the guy from Diablo 3 says, fuck that loser about the guy that made Diablo 1, it's, like, all over every fucking news site, and that's some PR that Blizzard doesn't want.
Right.
And I don't know if that guy got in trouble from his boss or what. I've only ever gotten one person in trouble at Blizzard. But
you know
it seemed like he got yelled at,
and
that sucked, and I felt really bad.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I guess once a company reaches a certain size, there are guys whose job it is to yell at guys like us and tell us to stop being honest with the public.
Hmm.
And that kind of sucks. So, I mean, you know.
No one at Blizzard is going to sit there and read segments of the code to a podcast.
Sure.
Right? That's just not going to happen.
Right.
Which,
you know, and it does kind of suck because I feel like because
the number of people that would find that fascinating, I think, is significant, and that it's sad.
You know, the number of people that I wish could have had the conversation that we had with our buddy Eric about the potions.
Yeah,
right. Like the guy who designed the alchemy system in World of Warcraft. You know, just like, and the way that thing eventually got sort of poisoned by top-end players and like these problems that were created, and the genesis of these was a guy said, I thought it would be cool if there were a bunch of potions that did a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, yeah, man, I just like it wouldn't help if the guys complaining about how broken the alchemy system it was in World of Warcraft and how expensive it was for them to raid as a result of that, if the guy who designed that system said, you know, I just thought it would be fun. Like, it seemed like like a good idea at the time.
You know what?
Because, you know, like, oh, well, let's see. This is a thing that lets you make potions. Should it let you make one potion or 90 potions? I'm going to say 90. That's the obvious answer for, you know, making a fun game for people.
Right.
Is that a bunch of potions more fun than one potion?
I was both sad and excited about the fact that I could carry around 20 different potions, and like if there was something that I was having a really hard time with, I could just drink a bunch of potions and suddenly I was twice as powerful as I was before, and then I could try it again. And like I understand that becomes kind of a nightmare to balance for, but maybe you balance it for not having all of them on and then let people go above and beyond what your balance numbers are, and it's a little easier than you expect.
But anything that you say, and this is why people aren't allowed to say anything, is that anything that you say will get just shredded by the internet. Like, gaming fans are great. People who play video games are great. But like any group of people, there are a very small number of very loud assholes, some of whom are in the press. And so you will just get raked over the coals if you betray any humanity at all. And that fucking sucks. So the obvious solution is to just stay under the radar, right? So that you can continue to just like make the shit that you want to make and not be beholden to anybody except yourselves and right. maybe your fans to whatever extent you decide you want to listen to them, which maybe it will be a lot. Maybe you will really want to listen to your fans if you maintain an honest and open relationship with them. And maybe the best way to avoid this sort of like player versus developer mentality that occurs is to actually try to live in the same world. But I don't know. You know, I would love to be a fly on the wall at so many meetings.
Yeah.
And it would just be, I think in a lot of ways, I would just sort of like reassurance that the shit that we deal with is shit that is just part of making games, as opposed to like, oh, well, these guys have just figured out a solution to this
right.
that we were too dumb to come up with. And that's part of why I want to listen to a podcast where the Blizzard guys are being honest about their design decisions. But I think they just can't do it. You know?
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, but you know, it's also a lot of work. I mean, we spend a lot of time that we could
That's
be spending
true.
Working yeah, on other yeah, stuff, yeah. Talking to people on these podcasts. I mean, it's hours and hours, like years. It's not. I don't think it is years. I don't think that there are years of audio that we've put out, but there are definitely months of audio.
I mean,
a lot of it is really embarrassing too.
Like, you've been doing what, 4 hours of podcast a week, more or less every week. Let's say 50 weeks a year for.
7 years, 8 years,
because you only have to do six years worth for it to be a year.
Is it? Right? I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, you spend one sixth of a year every year doing podcasts.
No, I don't think that I spend one sixth of my time doing podcasts.
No, I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Yeah, it is. Okay, 1/6 of a full time job. Just doing podcasts.
Yeah.
It sucks to put yourself out there and like that in a lot of ways. It's great in a lot of ways, especially when you meet people in person. And so part of it is that weird thing where like, oh, because I've been listening to this stuff that you've said, I feel like I know you, but I don't actually know you. So it's going to be awkward and weird unless you sort of exhibit a level of cool that is not super easy to come by in a big nerd group, but it also like,
yeah. I think we've made 2 months of podcasts.
2 months of podcasts. Okay, cool. Well, someday I'm going to wish I had that back.
I mean, if you count.
Also, I'm going to need you guys to sign these NDAs.
As we need everybody listening to sign these NDAs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Top 2014, 12, top 1214 says, how much complexity should video games and video game controllers have? I grew up playing an NES, and I don't like using more than 2 buttons and a direction pad in any game. That's a good question.
I mean, I didn't grow up with an NES. I grew up with like a Commodore VIC-20, which was all keyboard. And I didn't have a console until maybe 15 years ago, so I might be biased, but I feel like the standard PlayStation DualShock is right about the level I want.
See, I think that has too many buttons.
I like really? Mouse look, 2 mouse buttons, WASD, and maybe an action bar.
Like a Q and an E and an F, and then all of the numbers as different things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And that is a really great system, I think. It works out really well.
If it is the same from game to game, like I can pretty much play any MMO because any MMO that's come out since World of Warcraft, you're going to be able to play it as though it was World of Warcraft, right? And so you already know what all the verbs are. The reason that I don't play console games is because if I don't play them constantly, I just forget how to do everything. Like the instant a game presents one of those fucking pop-up screens that's just a picture of the controller with 40 different fucking things labeled pointing at different things.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Maybe if you had printed this on a card,
or maybe
this would be helpful, but what the fuck am I supposed to do? Memorize this
if you present each mechanic slowly over time and let you master it, I think it's okay.
No, which they do, but then if you walk away from it for a week and come back, you're not... Which is why the only game that I've finished on a console in a really long time was Arkham Asylum, because I was like, I am going to force myself to play this every day so that I don't lose the muscle
momentum.
Memory. Yeah, whereas like I would really like to see the rest of Infamous, but I would just have to start over, and I don't want to.
Right.
You know? And Yeah, I don't enjoy that. Like,
they've got,
man, I've been trying to play
Darksiders. They've got a D-pad, three analog sticks.
What?
Are there three analog sticks?
There's two down below, and then there's the analog stick on the left and the D-pad, which are sort of analogous, and then there's the two analog sticks that are also buttons.
What are you talking about? No. There's
what
only two analog sticks. There's the D-pad on the left, buttons on the right, the two analog sticks.
Oh, D-pad buttons.
Start, and select,
sticks,
and then four shoulder buttons.
Yeah, on a DualShock, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know.
I mean,
man.
You literally can't be touching like half of those at the same time, right? Because you're either doing buttons or the...
I mean, I don't have a hard time with... Although, I can't say that I played a ton of Super Nintendo games that actually used all four of the buttons or even really used the shoulder buttons much of the time at all.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they don't use a lot of the buttons a lot of the time, but some games try to.
I have been trying to play Darksiders on the PC, and that is a fucking mess. The interface on that is not...
I felt like it worked well on the PS3. I don't know what the PC version is.
Of it is also having been presented with a ton of systems, and so there's like when I go into the menus to do something, it's like, why do I have to page through all of this shit that I don't know what it is to get to anything?
Have you tried just using a...
curmudgeonly about that shit. Using a gamepad. No, I don't think I actually have a... I mean, I guess you can plug a 360 controller into a PC.
I mean, I have an extra gamepad that you and I
bought.
Well,
no, I have sure, but I don't think that has analog sticks on it, does it?
Sure.
I don't know. I have one that doesn't have analog sticks on it that I use for playing Super Nintendo games.
Right.
You know what I'd like to do is actually use my APB cabinet as the controller for everything, because it's got,
got a
gas pedal as one analog stick, a steering wheel as another analog stick, and two buttons. Oh, and a coin. Like, you just like, oh, to shoot lasers, drop a quarter in.
Put a quarter in.
Yeah. This is pretty good. You get 15,
bucket of quarters,
15 minutes of lasers for a quarter. Man, how come hotels never had that, like, sweet light show? You know, it was always like the vibrating bed thing that you could put a quarter into. Yeah. Why didn't they have a put a quarter in and it'll do laser Floyd?
I think it was prohibitively expensive to get a little laser system. Putting a motor under a bed, just have it go, isn't such a big deal.
Just getting a guy to lie under the bed and go,
I'm trying to click on this thing.
Paying a prostitute to sit in the mattress underneath your bed and shake. Mm-hmm. With the...
So that's how you got all those suffocated prostitutes in your mattress.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got the glue has to come from somewhere. Wakes up in the morning, time to make the glue. Out of these ground up prostitute bones.
All work and no play makes...
prostitutes
into glue.
In the glue. Yeah, it's good. Well, guys.
Yeah.
This has been a pretty good episode. If somebody wanted to send us a question for the next pretty good episode, how would they do that?
They could tweet us at VGHotDog. They could email us at VGHotDog@gmail.com. And they could check out our forums accessible via VideoGamesHotDog.com.
Yeah.
And what they should really do, though, is go on iTunes and... check us out, and I think bringing up our page on iTunes gives us some positive karma in Apple's eyes. I don't know why, but rating us is very helpful, and then writing a review would be super, super duper handy.
Even if the review was, these guys are assholes who think that God is worse than Hitler.
I would love to break top 100
God.
Charts with a VGHD
that
episode.
That'd be pretty
That'd
cool.
That'd be pretty sweet. I don't know what it would take to make that happen.
I don't either, because I feel like there are some things on there that don't have the penetration that... Okay, now I understand why. Well, Kevin, I thought it was going to be good to have you back, but it turns out this is just as bad
as
having you remote. We'll see you guys on the next episode of Video Games Hot Dog.
See ya.
Have a great week, everyone.
Gonna
We were doing so well.
Yeah, we should have stopped about 1 minute ago.